Hey, everyone. My name is Ahmed Khawaja. I'm a PhD candidate at UT Austin. And today I'll be presenting on our work on AmorphOS, which enables sharing, protection, and compatibility for FPGAs. Motivating our work are two recent trends in hardware, first of which is bigger and faster FPGAs are being deployed into the cloud. This diagram clearly illustrates that over time, there's been an exponential increase in compute capability with a corresponding exponential decrease in cost. What this means is major cloud providers, such as Microsoft and Amazon with their Catapult and F1 systems respectively, are now offering compute in the cloud with FPGAs attached. FPGAs are very popular as reconfigurable accelerators. They are particularly popular for domains that experience rapid evolution, such as machine learning, where developing an ASIC might not be feasible. One issue going forward is with the end of Moore's Law, cloud providers are now required to offer multiple forms of acceleration in the cloud. In the limit, cloud providers would be required to provision multiple accelerators to every server, which simply does not scale, making the reconfigurable nature of FPGAs a very attractive quality. It is our position that FPGAs will be shared. In order to accomplish this sharing, it must be done in a protected manner. To go about protecting this, a set of abstractions is necessary. When you have a set of abstractions, this naturally leads to a compatibility layer. We believe that the primary beneficiary of our work is the cloud provider. They will be able to increase consolidation in their data center. Some important background on FPGAs, or field programmable gate arrays. What they are is a collection of low-level hardware elements, particularly LUTs, adders, multipliers, etc., and reconfigurable interconnect or fabric that allows the creation of custom data paths, which make them very attractive for accelerators. We focus on FPGAs attached as a coprocessor to a CPU. What this means is the host CPU will offload work onto the FPGA for acceleration. Of particular importance is the FPGA build cycle. There are two key components to this. A user describes their language in a hardware description language, and through the synthesis step, that is converted into an abstract representation known as a netlist. The more computationally involved step, place and route, takes that abstract representation and maps it to concrete hardware components, generating a bitstream. A bitstream is what is used to actually program the FPGA. The important thing here I'd like to point out is the place and route takes at least an order of magnitude longer than synthesis, which takes an order of magnitude or more compared to simply reprogramming the FPGA with a bitstream. This disparity will become important soon. And a recent popular capability on FPGAs is what we call partial dynamic reconfiguration. And what this allows is that instead of reprogramming the fabric in its entirety, you're able to reprogram a subset of the fabric. This allows certain logic to continue running while additional logic is being swapped in or out. Current production systems, such as Microsoft's Catapult system and Amazon's F1, do not offer any form of multi-tenancy. What this means is only a single accelerator can run on the FPGA at once. This leads to fragmentation. Emerging and research systems, such as Intel's proposed design here, decided to statically partition the FPGA fabric. And here's where we actually see the fragmentation. And what we've observed in our experiments is this fragmentation can be on the order of 50% or more due to having fixed size partitions of the FPGA. So what we believe in our work is desirable is to actually have elastic resource management, where we can eliminate fragmentation by dynamically partitioning the FPGA. This leads me to the three high-level goals of our system, AmorphOS. The first goal is to enable protected sharing. The purpose of this is to allow us to run mutually distrustful applications concurrently on the FPGA. And in order to accomplish this, we need to introduce a protection layer and a set of interfaces. These interfaces lead us into our next goal, which is compatibility. You should be able to write your accelerator design in a hardware description language that adheres to a certain set of interfaces and that are implemented on top of AmorphOS. This will allow you to easily take your accelerator and move it to any system that implements AmorphOS, whereas currently you'd be required to rewrite your accelerator for every platform that you want to run on. We were actually able to take 14 benchmarks that we originally wrote for Catapult and without modification run them on Amazon's F1 after porting AmorphOS. The last property is elasticity, and this has multiple meanings in our system. First and foremost, we desire that a single application be elastic in the sense that if it's on a bigger FPGA, it should be able to scale. And if it's on a smaller FPGA, or I want to deallocate FPGA fabric, it should be able to downsize itself. And then we also want to increase sharing density. So this is in the sense that we would like to have multiple applications running concurrently on the FPGA. So there's two elements to elasticity, within an application and across applications. And then an illustrative example of all this is we have the FPGA fabric. There's commonly, it's attached to off-chip memory in the form of DRAM, various sets of IOs, the host CPU, which is the model we focus on, and certain applications running on the host CPU. Now, naturally, a protection layer needs to sit around the fabric to control access to memory and mediate access to IO resources. When a single application wants to run on the FPGA, it should be able to run on the entirety of the FPGA. When multiple applications want to be accelerated on the FPGA, we should be able to dynamically repartition the fabric to run both of these, and so forth, reacting to system needs. In order to allow for OS-level management of resources, we need to introduce a set of abstractions. The first thing we abstract away is the unit of fabric that can be allocated independently. In the base case, we have our global zone. What this represents is the entirety of the FPGA fabric and our protection layer. We also introduce dynamically sized partial reconfigurable zones. We are able to recursively subdivide these into powers of two. The next abstraction is our protection layer, which we call our hull, and this controls access to memory and I/O. Our protection domain abstraction is called a morphlet. It extends the traditional process abstraction, and it allows user logic to either run in a PR zone or on the global zone, potentially co-scheduled with additional morphlets. In order to run on the global zone, we must run place and route again. This incurs high latency. What we do is we introduce a registry, which can be thought of as a bitstream cache, to try to accelerate this. So there's a set of design trade-offs that need to be made when scheduling morphlets. The first one is if you have static partitioning of the FPGA utilizing fixed-size slots and you rely on partial reconfiguration, it's fast in the sense that you're able to quickly reprogram a zone because you have the bitstream, and that's a very low-latency operation. The downside of this is it introduces fragmentation. Alternatively, you could have a global zone where you could potentially co-schedule multiple morphlets and rely on place and route. The problem here is while you do eliminate fragmentation, you're introducing an additional slow step on the critical path. So MorphOS tries to address this disparity by taking the best of both worlds. We do this by introducing two modes. We have a dual mode scheduler. The first one of these modes, low latency mode, is when we start out with fixed size zones and partial reconfiguration, and each morphlet has a default bitstream. So when it wants to run, it quickly is able to be reprogrammed in one of those zones. Alternatively, we also have our high throughput mode. This allows for multiple morphlets to be co-scheduled on the global zone by calling place and route. A case study of what this all looks like in practice when the scheduler has to make various decisions is presented here. On the top row, we see the logical view of the system, the host, the FPGA, and whether a morphlet is running on each. The bottom view is the floor plan layout generated by our design tools. And what this shows is the physical mapping of the morphlet to actual hardware resources. A particular importance is the purple zones. Those are partial reconfigurable zones. So when we start at T0, morphlet A is quickly deployed on a PR region and starts to run, utilizing its default bitstream. At T1, the operating system detects underutilization of the fabric. And since morphlets are elastic, which is a property we desire, the operating system is able to scale up the morphlet to use more of the fabric. At T2, an additional morphlet, morphlet B in this case, would also like to run on the fabric. So what we do is we switch back to low latency mode. We quickly deploy morphlet B on a PR region. Please note that this also requires that morphlet A be redeployed on another PR region to allow them to run concurrently. And at some point in the future, time 3 here, additional morphlets would like to run. In this case, we see that they're all co-scheduled on the global zone. One thing I'd like to point out is that in high throughput mode, we have substantially less fragmentation and higher utilization of the FPGA fabric. We see a lot of unused fabric in the lower latency modes. Our protection layer, which we call our hull, is similar to what vendors provide with their shells. Vendor shells are a way of providing library support on the FPGA itself. So the first one we'll look at here is Microsoft's Catapult. This at a high level produces three high-level interface: soft register, which is used for controlling the FPGA from the host side, access to physical memory, and a PCI Express interface for bulk data transfer to and from the CPU. These come together to form the Catapult shell. You write your accelerator to Catapult. Similarly, there's the Amazon's F1 shell, which logically exposes the same set of interfaces but uses different protocols, AXIE4 in this case. These combine together to give you an F1 shell. You write your F1 accelerator. Now, it's our desire that when you have a hull, it should be able to sit on top of these shells and abstract that away from the user. You should be able to write in your high-level or hardware description language with to one of these interfaces. In this case, we have three primary interfaces: control register, which is the control interface from the CPU; AMI, which we call the AmorphOS memory interface, which provides a full virtual memory address space. Particular importance is it abstracts things away like memory channels. So the systems we run on have a different number of memory channels, and the default shells require you to access each channel with an independent address space. We break that. And then lastly, there is a PCIe for bulk data transfer. These are the logical superset of the two interfaces observed in F1 and Catapult. Now, the problem with running multiple morphlets at the same time on an FPGA is that each one of these morphlets needs access to each one of these interfaces. So here we see that there are four morphlets, and we're presented with a scalability problem that as the number of morphlets increases, we have to route all these signals on demand to each one of them. And then once you scale past four morphlets, it gets incredibly challenging. So our approach is to use a buffered tree of multiplexers to on-demand route necessary signals to each morphlet. All right, so let's talk about what we actually built. We implemented AmorphOS on two systems, Microsoft's Catapult. We primarily extended their memory interface with segment-based memory protection, and we instantiated a PR controller, a partial reconfiguration controller that allows us to subdivide the fabric into PR zones. Similarly, we also implemented AmorphOS on Amazon's F1. Unfortunately, there's no publicly available PR support on F1, but there's substantially more fabric than in the Catapult. Now, what this allows us to do is additional interesting experiments in regards to scalability. Now, to actually analyze our prototypes, we needed a set of workloads. So here's a list of the workloads that we used. The first one is DNN Weaver. It's a DNN inference. It's an open source tool. Then there's MemDrive, which is a synthetic memory benchmark that we wrote that's able to saturate the memory bandwidth of any system that it's running on, and it's able to generate multiple memory patterns to simulate different memory-intensive workloads. And then there's Bitcoin, which does blockchain hashing. And the significance of Bitcoin is it's able to scale with available fabric, which we'll see soon. We also looked at CHStone, which is a collection of benchmarks that's commonly used on FPGAs. So the first question we asked ourselves is, how does our system scale? So here we show results from F1. On the x-axis, we have an increasing number of morphlets. For each data point here, the morphlets co-scheduled with each other are homogeneous. So in the mem drive, it's only mem drives, only bitcoins, and only DNN weavers. On the y-axis, we see aggregate system throughput. The first thing I'd want to draw your attention to is that mem drive does scale up to four instances, but unfortunately, system performance degrades past four instances. The reason for this is contention for memory bandwidth. So not only is each mem drive getting a lesser amount of the total bandwidth, which is to be expected because the total bandwidth is fixed and you have an increasing number of applications, but here we see that the aggregate bandwidth also decreases. And the reason for this is there's contention. DRAM is very sensitive to memory access patterns. Next up, we see that Bitcoin is able to scale linearly. Here we stop at 8 instances because that's the most we could fit on there before exhausting the entirety of the FPGA fabric. Lastly, we look at results for DNN Weaver. We were able, with our scalable hull, to fit 32 of these on the FPGA at once. What you'll notice is there's deviation from perfect linear scaling. And the reason for this is that DNN Weaver does exhibit similar contention for memory bandwidth as seen in MemDrive. But even with that, we're able to achieve an impressive 23x throughput increase. The thing I want you to take away from this is that it is possible to have great throughput and density increase as long as you have a scheduler that is aware of contention for shared resources. The next question we wanted to ask ourselves is, how do we compare to other systems? So on the x-axis, we have a no-sharing design similar to Catapult and F1. We have a 2PR zone scheme, which uses two high-level programmable zones similar to Intel's proposed design. And then we have our high-throughput mode running in the running in a global space. This data is on Catapult, and it's running 8 Bitcoin Morphlets to completion. The first thing you notice is that when you don't have sharing, everything is completely serialized. And the next thing that I'd like to focus on is when you have fixed size zones, it is actually able to achieve worse performance. And the reason for this is as you continually cut up the fabric, your accelerator just might not fit. If you only have two slots and your design requires more, you might have to downscale your accelerator. And that's what's done here. So you actually see that performance decreases. And lastly, we see that a MorphOS's global scheduling on a global zone performs as good or better than a fixed size design. So lastly, we asked ourselves, what are various partitioning policies that one can adopt for the FPGA fabric? The first policy, in which we use as our baseline, is that there's no sharing. This is how FPGAs have traditionally been. They're a single context machine. And then on the right, we show a floor plan of a design that realizes this. Next up is the global zone design that we use. And in this one, you can schedule multiple morphlets on a global zone. There are no high-level PR zones here. Next up, we have similar to Intel's design, where you have two high-level PR regions, and you're able to schedule a single morphlet in each region. So what if we break up the one-to-one mapping between morphlets and PR regions? So in this case, we show that you can actually co-compile two morphlets to target a single PR region. And this also demonstrates the flexibility of our system. And then lastly, we said that we wanted hierarchical design. So we can start out with two high-level PR regions and recursively subdivide them. Now, this is the common intuition, is to recursively subdivide systems, right? So our results are interesting when running three Bitcoin morphlets on Catapult. The first thing we see is that single partitioning is actually better than recursive partitioning. There are diminishing returns for continuously subdividing your fabric. And the reason for this is as the fabric gets smaller and smaller, you have to keep downscaling your design. On this, higher is better, and then what we see is that our global co-scheduling performs best. The biggest takeaway from this is if you have a limited amount of hardware, such as on Catapult, it might not be profitable to recursively subdivide. Unfortunately, due to PR not being available on F1, we were only able to make projections, which you can see in the paper. So there's a lot of related work. Our paper has over 100 citations. There's a lot of work that we relied on for this. But I want to point your attention to two primary things, the first of which is work done on MIRAC, which, similar to us, extends the process abstraction to FPGAs. We differ in that we focus on spatial sharing. And then lastly, overlays, which have become incredibly popular recently. The main difference between our work and overlays is that they focus on virtualizing the hardware layer, whereas we focus on virtualizing at the protection boundary. And we do perform better. So in conclusion, due to these set of interfaces and abstractions that we introduced, we greatly improved compatibility. You can retain your hardware description language programming model and still target multiple systems. We showed that our system can scale within and across accelerators. We're able to upscale or downscale an individual accelerator or increase system density by co-scheduling multiple accelerators. And then looking forward into the future, one thing we're looking at is transparently scaling across multiple FPGAs, perhaps more than just FPGAs, and we will open source MorphOS sometime in the future once additional work is done on it. I open up for questions.
We have time for one quick question.
I'm Dong from Shanghai Jiao Tong University. So my question is that in the high throughput mode, each schedule of morphlet needs to regenerate the bit streams. However, it usually takes more than 100 minutes to regenerate the bit streams. So it will make the schedule latency very high. Even you have the registry to catch some bit streams, but I think it's still a very serious issue. So
are you saying that you don't believe that the registry can mask the latency of place and route?
Because if you have many morphlets, the combination of this morphlet may be very, very huge. And the bitstream is also, I think, not such small.
So the approach we looked at is we analyzed the, on like Amazon's F1, the number of workloads running. And then, like I said, our focus is on cloud providers. So they'll be running a subset of acceleratable workloads. So we believe that doing this in the background, so when they first deploy these workloads, it should be fine to run in low latency mode. But over time, once you develop that bitstream, for I assume that are workloads that are fairly stable, even though they are rapidly evolving, you can amortize the cost of that place and route. So I think based on the server workloads that a cloud provider would want to run, a registry stream is fine. And we do make a lot more projections in the paper. And I will be presenting at tonight's poster session. And we have a whole section on the registry if you'd like to come by and talk more about it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's thank our speaker again.